Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Well, not quite. Pop's feeling a little under the weather, so yours truly, Nick Valvano, in here on the V Show Monday, for Overreaction Monday. But I'm not here alone. The coach, Mark Lieberman, joining me in studio. Coach, you have a good weekend.
Great weekend. Maybe you can make me an honorary Valvano.
No, at this point, look, we already got imaging in the works to get so we can actually, get now in for Bob Valvano. Yeah, we can get the UPS man, if you will. But half the listenership is happy, half the listenership is rather downtrodden. We'll get right into it, everybody. It's the V Show, ESPN 680-1057. You want to be part of the show, UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. Probably the best way to get a hold of us. You can also tweet at us at Coach Lieberman. We're getting him a little up to snuff on the Twitterscape. Or at Nikki Vespin, also at ESPN 680 Bet Rivers Twitter feed. Got a Bet Rivers Twitter poll up for, we can get into that a little bit later. But yeah, Governor's Cup, 26-13. UK basically doubles, well, doesn't basically, they do, doubles UofL's score for the fourth straight year. The Governor's Cup staying in Lexington. A lot of wringing of hands, a lot of gnashing of teeth, Coach. I know you and I both watched it, but your initial takeaways, I'll give you mine. And yeah, feel free to weigh in, everybody.
Yeah, just up front, it was a very physical game, and you just saw Kentucky's offensive line kind of overpowering Louisville's defensive line, and then Kentucky defensively able to apply pressure constantly to whoever was that quarterback, and obviously that's how you win games up front. In football, hey, you've got to be dominant on the offensive and defensive lines, and you could see the edge that Kentucky had throughout the game.
No, absolutely. I will say, and this is, I'm going to tip my hand here, and feel free to crush me, everybody. I am still in the pro stat camp. It might be a bit of a loser mindset, and I get accused of being a coach apologist, but I don't care. I mean, I am one. I grew up with coaches.
I appreciate that then.
Yeah, I know what the household is like after a loss. I'm not saying that they're infallible by any stretch, but people kind of forget that they're human and there's other things involved in it. But nonetheless, I'm still in the pro stat camp. Everyone can get mad at me, but, and this is going to sound, like I said, loser mentality, but it was an improvement from last year. Last year, it looked like it looked like Muhammad Ali was in there with Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, I mean, you had an okay small man. That's an insult to Manny Pacquiao. He was great, but you get my point. It was completely outclassed, sure. A bigger weight class, bigger, faster, stronger. They just ran roughshod over them. This game, they did still, but Louisville was able to get a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, specifically in the second half, make some plays. But there were a lot of broken tackles.
Right.
They still got manhandled a bit on both sides of the trenches. I'm not saying that they looked necessarily, I don't want to say outclassed, but I will say, okay, I'll put it, going back to my boxing analogy, it seemed like last year it was heavyweight versus middleweight, lightweight. This year, it looked like equal weight classes, just one outclassing the other. It was a tomato can in there with Roy Jones Jr.
Any sport you're playing, turnovers are just deflating, and those were crucial turnovers in this game that led to points for Kentucky. Those are just giving them easy points. Those things just can't happen. He was under pressure. It seemed it was almost like a coverage sack. Guys weren't getting separation, but You just got to protect the basketball, protect the football as exactly protect the football as a quarterback and get rid of it and so on. Get outside the pocket and get ready for the next play instead of trying to play hero ball and it just the ball got knocked out and that just led to, you know, Louisville had to stand defensively and they were in it and just again crucial turnovers. Malik throwing that interception just really just deflates the team.
Well, we got a soundbite from Satterfield post game, and again 437-968 UPS jobs text line if you want to weigh in on the show. Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today. We'll play that soundbite in just a sec, but a major talking point was the fact that why didn't Malik play more? Why didn't he start?
Right.
Why did you wait to put him in? And then it made sense why they pulled him. He threw the pick. He hurt his shoulder making the tackle. We all saw that. After you know, and then it became the Brock Domann show, which I don't know if this is a take or not, but a lot of people were not everybody, but something that got made on Middays with Marcus Maven was that exact thought. Like, why did it take so long to get Malik in the game? And I don't know. Malik has always been like an anomaly to me, because on one hand, you know, he's in, he marches down the field, he gets the score, he rushes it in, he does Malik things, he looks athletic.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you know, throws the pick. We've seen that before. And I made this point on Middays with Marcus Maben. The only score, the only touchdown after that was
the touchdown pass
to T. Huddy.
Right.
You know, the pocket collapse. Brock does a good job scrambling. But there was in the back of my mind, I was thinking that had that been Malik in there, he would have held on to the ball too long.
Right.
He would not have looked downfield to try to find T. Huddy. It was a great read by T. Huddy to, you know, that little like movie did where he saw that he was in trouble. He's like, hey, I can get some space here down the sideline. Great throw, great catch. He scores. So it was a great play. But I don't see Malik making that play. So in the back of my mind, I think to myself, like, how much of a difference the game would have been with a banged-up Malik. I mean, super healthy Malik. You know he's going to be in the game the whole time. I think that maybe it makes a bit of a difference. But I don't know. And then that, well, you know, I know you have thoughts on that. But then I guess that gets to the issue that a lot of fans have is if I'm saying that the fifth, six-year quarterback being the healthy starter in there, I don't think it would have really changed the end result that much. Therein lies a problem. But right. Your initial thoughts on the quarterback?
Yeah, as a staff, they're calculating all that kind of stuff. There's pros and cons for each quarterback. But obviously, they're going through the week of prep, through everything, watching Malik, everything he's doing, talking to the trainers, talking to everybody involved. So there's a reason. As fans, we're all saying, why didn't he start? Why this? Why that? But obviously, from a coaching standpoint, there's a reason for it. And they were comfortable making that change, and maybe the adrenaline kicks in. He's like, "Coach, I'm ready to go." There's so many things
right,
that people, you know, have to understand that go into a game. Physically, maybe he's not ready, but he's like, "Hey, I want to help my team," and maybe the injuries he can overcome those type of things, or it's a detriment, and he's going to make those type of mistakes, and again, getting re-injured on the tackle and so on. Those things can affect you. They put their players in the best position to win. That's what coaches are doing. So as we sit here and the pundits and we talk and so on, they're trying to do what they can to put their players in position to be successful.
No, and I'm sure, of course, they know more than we do here. We're just talking heads. But it was a little baffling in the sense that we saw earlier in the year, they were like, all right, we're going to try this. We're going to try this against Clemson. And I would say, yes, there's the rivalry aspect of it, but that was as big a game, at least in terms of credibility this season, to beat Clemson on the road in Death Valley is a program-changing win. I will say that beating UK would be this coaching tenure-changing win, but I don't think it's necessarily in the same, and that might be unpopular, but I do think that that Clemson win would have had a longer lasting effect on certain. I understand how important the rivalry game is. Before the texters texted and crucified me on that. I understand how important that is.
I got
is,
your back.
But, yeah, thank you. But in that game, they decided to start Malik. And it was very quickly apparent it was not working. He wasn't the same player. He couldn't. It wasn't necessarily his shoulder at the time, it was the hand, but that was limiting him on the ground, which is very much his bread and butter. And so they tried it, they yanked it. This one, it didn't seem, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm being Captain Hindsight a little bit here, but I don't know why, like you said, put them in the best chance to win. It seemed like he would have been the best chance to win. I mean, as great as Brock has played, I don't necessarily think that you have a ton of confidence that he's going to win the game. You have this idea that he's going to steal the game. And he's, you know, part of me just thought that you might as well just dance with the girl that brought you. I mean, right. this is the act that you've had. He hasn't been able to run or do exactly what Malik's done. But I would say that in a way, the offense has kind of settled down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course. You know what you're getting with it.
As coaches, they're second guessing going on in their conferences and their talks. And as coaches, that just happens. They could look back and say, yeah, we should have just went with them and so on. So that happens from a coaching standpoint. As you saw him come in and get a touchdown before half and make it a football game. That's twice now, Nick. All right? I don't know if you caught that. I almost said basketball. So if we can edit that out, that'd be great.
Maybe I'll get the bell for every time it happens. And place your bets over under 7.5.
But look, it looks great. He comes in, leads a scoring drive, and then that crucial interception, not reading the linebacker who's dropping in the coverage and then gets hurt on the tackle.
Yeah. For what it's worth, nice tackle. But, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah.
Saves that, gets him the 3 points. They holds him the 3 points. So that's a big play. But could he have been more of a factor to start the game? Sure. And believe me, there's the coaches are going through that as well. There's coaches who are just – that's what happens. Every time after a loss, it just magnifies, and you're just like, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It just happens. You look back at the film, you look at everything, and you're just saying – if we had only done this, if we should have done this, and so on and so forth. So I'm sure there's people in that room who are like, Malik should have started, and that's just natural.
And I, you know, again, being Captain Hindsight, it's so much easier to do that.
It's a great name.
Yeah, it was a character from South Park where literally he was a superhero called Captain
Hindsight. I like
that show.
I need to, yeah.
It's great. I'll play it later. But literally all he does is he'll fly, he'll get to like a disaster zone and just point out what should have happened. And everyone's like, thank you, Captain Hindsight. And, you know, but he does nothing to actually fix the problem. So, yeah, of course we can beat Captain Hindsight with it. But I guess I brought this up earlier, and I said that even with Malik in, I don't know necessarily how much different an outcome it would have been. I do think you have a better chance to win, sure. You have a better chance to win as opposed to, like I said, stealing a win, where you were definitely going to need, I feel like, the defense to do what they do. Second in the country, get to the quarterback, maybe get a couple of turnovers, and... there was a great, it was phrased fantastically by our cohorts here. Mark Ennis said in the post game, the Miller Lite post game show, that they didn't get enough run support, mixing sports. The defense played adequate enough. They did not get enough run support from the offense. And Diener said that they got betrayed by the offense. I like both of those phrases. But I guess, and this goes to the topic du jour, I don't know how much different it would have been with Malik in, because I feel like they were still getting outbodied mm-hmm. on the line. They were still getting to the quarterback. And Malik has that tendency. We talked about it. The run pass option in the red zone is not that. I mean, the scoring drive ended with him keeping the ball and right. It was a great play. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, we all kind of know that's what you're going to get. And T. Huddy has been great all year, but they don't have – I heard the guys talking about this morning. I guess you feel like they don't have that deep threat. And so I feel like it would have been a movie we've seen before. Malik trying to do too much, scrambling around, maybe gets them into position for a field goal or something like that. But that touchdown pass to T. Huddy I don't think happens with Malik under center. And I don't think that they're winning this game, because it got shown to them while they did better this year, they still don't quite have the bodies that UK does.
Yeah, you said, and I listened this morning, Louisville doesn't have somebody that can go over the top of the defense.
Right.
Their running backs are banged up. They were down to, what, two healthy running backs for the game.
Right.
And so those things, and then you have an offensive line that's not getting pushed. So what are you going to do? It wasn't going to be an elixir to solve all those problems. That wasn't going to happen. And Malik, like you said, it was not going to come in and just transform everything they're doing, because Kentucky
Especially banged up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he has a fair excuse there. Dinged up hand, which affected his play on the ground a couple weeks ago. And now the shoulder. I mean, you know, it's kind of affecting him on both.
Right.
And he is a dynamic player. I don't want to make it sound like I'm just poo-pooing him. I mean, he has the ability to throw and run. We've seen as much. But, yeah, no, he was definitely... he wasn't 100%.
Kentucky was crowding the box when he was in. They're bringing, you know, it's eight men in the box and so on, and it makes it tough for him to do the things that he's capable of doing, put him in position to be successful. So would that have changed the outcome? I doubt it, just because of what you saw up front. It was just it was men amongst boys on the offensive and defensive lines, and that affects games. I don't care what sport you're playing. You talk about the pros, you talk about college, any level. When you have up front, you have a push like Kentucky did. Their line was just getting, you know, Rodriguez yard after yard after yard, and then from a defensive standpoint, you know, they're getting pressure. They're putting guys. They have more men than you, and that's where you can get in trouble if you don't have protection. You don't have guys that can make plays, and if you don't have a receiver that can separate, where you can just have a go route and say, okay, we can stretch the defense and make at least open things up. They don't have it.
No, and that therein lies something that a lot of people are critical of. But I do think, I mean, you heard the guys this morning on the Diener Show. Check it out, GE Appliances Podcast Center, ESPNLouisville.com, talking about how they were hoping that maybe Devon Mortimer would have been that guy this year. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. some off-field stuff kept him off the field. Next year, I mean, you do have DeAndre Moore coming in. I mean, you think that, but you are losing Tyler Hudson. So I don't know. What was the line that they said over on middays? It was the old Schnellenberger line. You're going to, for every freshman you have to start, that's a loss you're going to have, or something like that. And of course, you know, it's changed a little bit.
Well, but I would say, yeah, another coaching term is the best thing about freshmen is that they become sophomores. So, yeah, but the transfer portal has changed all that as
well.
Yeah,
it's a great equalizer, mm-hmm. absolutely. And regardless, I mean, even the pro sat guys, even the he's got to go guys, are all in agreement that they have to make a bit of a splash. As great as recruiting is going to be, they have to make a bit of a splash in the transfer portal. I guess what I saw in the game was, this is going to sound so, it's such a loser mindset, it is, but I saw a better performance than last year, and that combined with the other things we saw this year. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the number I heard from a lot of people, the detractors and the pro sat alike, were maybe seven, but eight wins, and it's a prove it year, and they can do that still. They mm-hmm. win a bowl game. I know that combined with the loss to UK seems like you're absolutely, I mean, Diener said it. I mean, this is a worst case scenario for both fans. There's enough there that you can hang your hat on, but there's enough there that, hey, it's still same old. We don't feel like we have adequate quarterback play. We're not up to snuff with UK. This was a bad UK team, or not a bad UK team, but a banged up UK team. It was not the big blue wall, and you still got outbodied by it. This was a banged up defensive line. You still got outbodied by it. This was a team that came in, a UofL team that had all the momentum in the world. I mean, I have the stats. Shout out to the Crunch Zone for putting it together about where they were ranked defensively. So you got to think that this was a stronger UofL team coming up against a weaker UK team, and you still got outclassed. Now, I do think you were in there punching. I mean, we're talking about the banged up running backs. You still had Jawar Jordan, who ran for a game high 150 yards. Mm-hmm. Or so. I'm pulling up the exact stat. Yeah, 145 yards. I mean, Chris Rodriguez, who was fantastic, don't get me wrong, ran for .120.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there wasn't things to celebrate for the Cards, but at the end of the day, they still got outclassed. But to me, bigger picture, and I'm not excusing away a loss, but we just mentioned it, banged up players, everything on the road, all that. That combined with, if you would have said that they got to eight wins, but they won, they did it in the way they did. They won the harder games and lost the easier games. To me, like, I don't know. I feel like that you got to hang your hat on that. If you're going to say that eight wins is the eight wins. And Diener says it, that there's 7-5, there's different flavors of 7-5. Totally agree with that. But to get to 7-5 and have wins over Wake and NC State, I mean, that's, you gotta give some credit there.
I'm with you on that. No question. You look back to 6 weeks ago, and everybody's calling for his head, and then it's, hey, it's great. We're playing great football and so on, and they go into this game, and I do think they competed. I think they're limited offensively, even though you read the stats and so on. I think Rodriguez had some critical runs on some third downs and so on to get the first down.
What were there, like, five broken tackles in the first half?
No question.
That's a stat that makes that's an outclass stat.
I've got to do a better job with my football numbers as I do with my basketball numbers, and keep the number of missed tackles as well. So that's something I'm going to work on for the next show. But yeah, there was a bunch of those, and that just breaks down the defense, because it's just disheartening. You just got to get off the field on third downs and so on, and then you stay on the field, and then you pound Rodriguez, and it takes up the clock too. Great score at the end of the half, but look, you come out in the second half, you have a chance, and you turn the ball over again. That's what just breaks a team's back, and then the lead's insurmountable, and the late touchdown's great, but it's not going to affect the game, and that's where they're at. But look, what you talked about with Coach Satterfield, I think there was a lot of things to see that, hey, he's doing some things that are successful, recruiting and so on. And I think I'm with you, and I'm not as a coach, it's not being an apologist. I just think that there's signs that, hey, he can make that breakthrough. I think earlier this morning they talked about Jim Harbaugh. Look, they stayed with Jim Harbaugh, right? It was almost couldn't beat Ohio State. Right. Now it's 2 years in a row. Their program's on the rise.
Well, I think not just beating Ohio State, I mean absolutely decimating them.
Right.
Back-to-back years at their place. Right. So
we
talked about it, and I feel like we teased this soundbite. By the way, Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today, Monday edition of the B Show, ESPN 680, 105.7. Eric Crawford of WDRB will join us on the other side to weigh in on the Governor's Cup, give some thoughts on hoops as well, and answer a question du jour, which is being bidied and bantered around, and that's whether or not should you extend Satterfield. Mark and I, Coach Mark, Coach, I'm going to call you Coach. Can I call you Coach? Coach.
You may.
Coach and I will give our thoughts on that as well. But we teased this soundbite, Scott Satterfield post-game, which you heard right here on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app over the weekend, talking about what we've been talking about, the chunk plays and the turnover margin, and how that did not exactly play into the Cards' favor.
You know, first half, I thought our defense played really good. Other than the one play, it was a 70-yard play. We were in a man coverage, and our guy lost his tight end. They ended up hitting. And if you're in man coverage, there's not anything else back there. And then we missed the tackle by the free safety. But I think, the difference in the game, obviously, is the turnovers. I mean, three turnovers, and we didn't create any. That spells doom. A lot of times, and I don't care, you don't even have to look at the two teams, who they are. But if you got three and they got nine, then a lot of times that team's going to win.
I mean, that's basically it. Yeah, that's basically it. And, excuse me as I'm coughing there. But I guess it just was, I'm trying to pull up the stats for tackles for a loss. They got a couple of sacks.
Right.
It was different this year in the sense that at least they were able to get a little pressure on Levis, which is what teams have been doing all year, as this texter says. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. If you want to be part of the show, work in a couple of these before we get to break, and then we get to WDRB's Eric Crawford joining us. UK's O-line has been terrible all year. Levis was sacked a ton, yet U of L gets a little pressure on him. They did get a couple of sacks. I don't know how many tackles for a loss. Jarvis Brownlee had that massive hit late in the third quarter, where he just absolutely punched through and smashed, I think, Rodriguez for like a 6-yard loss. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't enough. It was better than last year, but it couldn't have gotten much worse than last year. But I guess one of the questions you could say is how much different is it going to be next year, because they are losing Yasir Abdul. They are losing Yaya Diaby, Monty Montgomery, Momo Sanogo. They're losing a lot of these pieces on this improved defense. A question I posed on Twitter, it was something that has been biddied and bantered around the office. What do you think Louisville football is closer to next year, a 6-win season or a 9-win season? And last I checked, it was about 60-46 win, which I don't think would sit well with the fan base, quite honestly. I mean, even with that highly tattered recruiting class coming in. I mean, what do you think? Do you think six wins is – I feel like that there'd be rioting next year.
No question. But that's what they're working on right now. They're scouring – the transfer portal is already alive and well in college football. So they are scouring about those needs. Who can we find? They have a very good recruiting class, but you got to find guys that can come in and affect winning right now. Freshmen and JUCOs are great, but you need guys that can come in right now and help your team up front, and the guys that you mentioned that they're losing. But look, we can't sit here and see the future as far as that goes. I'm with you. I think he's done well enough that he deserves a chance to say, hey, let's continue to build this program. Obviously, everybody's screaming for Brohm in this town, and that's what I was listening to earlier, and I get it. But that's easy. That's the easy out is let's make a coaching change. Let's make a coaching change. Let's make a coaching change. I would say that they've just got to bring in the pieces to help them win, and let's see what happens in the next month or so with transfers. But again, it's tough. You're in a position where you're kind of in limbo as you're going through this. So it's a catch 22 because you're recruiting, and then obviously there's what's called negative recruiting, and other teams will be saying, well, your coach isn't coming back, you don't need to go to Louisville, and so on. So if you're going to do something eventually, you need to do it immediately. So let's find out what his status is, and I think he can keep this thing trending upward and hopefully continue to get to 8-9 wins and to be the Kentucky. And then everybody's happy, right?
They win. They beat UK yesterday, and
changes everything. Changes the whole narrative.
I mean, they're naming streets after that.
Exactly right.
And I'm not saying that is unfair. Like, I understand the importance of the rivalry game and everything, but bigger picture, I do think that there's certain things that you can hang your hat on, or if it's one of those things, as Pops always says, let me grant you your argument. He was successful with Bobby's players here the first couple of years. Okay, well, let's see what he can do when he brings in guys that were higher ranked than some of those guys. And I'm not saying that they're necessarily going to succeed, but it's one of those things where if you're critical of it and he does something to address it, I feel like he at least earns the chance to follow up. People were critical that he wasn't getting the guys here. He's getting the guys here. Now, someone brought up, well, let's get them to sign on the line, which is dotted. They're not on campus yet. Who the hell knows what can happen? Mm-hmm. We just saw they lost a decent piece on the defensive line, Caleb Banks, entering the transfer portal. Now, he was a three-star, but still, from guys that know it a lot more than me, like Biggest Biscuit, guys that followed the trenches said that, hey, look, that's an unfortunate loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, We'll see whoever, it's a two-way street with the transfer portal for sure. But I feel like his win-loss record was enough this year with that recruiting class coming in. And here's the other thing. Everyone, Rummage talked about it. Okay, Louisville's still a basketball school. Like, if I hadn't stuttered, that would have been a clean bite. You could have put that on the mixtape.
But you got me a couple times here, so it's like 3-1 me as far as some mess ups. So you're fine. You're doing great.
Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate that. But Louisville's a basketball school, and yes, they had the NCAA cloud. Yes, they're a top 10 program all time. I always say top 10, so I don't have to deal with the pissing match of the Crimson fans and the UK fans. But we're doing that Mount Rushmore. Just okay, fine. 10, just top 10. Can we agree on top 10? Whatever. They have a longer legacy in basketball than they do in football. And the coaching candidates for U of L, as Rummage brought up, I made a promo of this, were not as sexy as a lot of people thought that might have been available. And so I'm certainly not saying that they just went into the bargain bin and got Kenny Payne. That's not the case at all. I'm just saying that it wasn't exactly this list of everyone knocking down the door to come to Louisville. That was basketball. Imagine what football is going to be. So I know everyone thinks that Brohm's going to be is the guy. And I do think because of that, that's where that has at least a little bit of a foothold. Like, Steve was always critical of Satterfield last year and was very pro Brohm. But he wasn't doing the whole, let's go out and get Urban Meyer. Let's go out and get Deion Sanders. It was a very much a bird in the hand situation. Mm-hmm. It would have been turnkey, sat out, Brahmin. So I do think because of that, you get a little bit of a leg to stand on. But nonetheless, like you said, do you really think that the program's going to get turned around immediately if you make a coaching change? And especially you're going to just flush away the best recruiting class you've ever had in the modern era.
Right.
I don't think there's enough there that as I know everyone's frustrated, but I just think that juice ain't worth the squeeze to completely reset. It's not that bad yet.
You know how difficult it is. You're 2-4 to keep those players up, keep them involved, keep them just focused on what you have to do to get to seven, you know, to 5 straight wins and or excuse me, just get to 7-5. I think what was it? 2-3 or 2-4, their record was, to get those guys to stay the course and to play good football and get to the point where you have a chance to get to 8 wins with a win over Kentucky. That is difficult in any sport, to get your players, college kids, to buy in, to stay on it, to stay what you guys believe in as far as what you're teaching, what you're coaching, what your strategy is. That is so hard from a coach's mindset. And then they got it done. And we talked about it, Nick. If the results are different on Saturday, it's, you're right. There's the residence hall is being named after him for a win like that. So, sure. I think coaching and what he's done and with the recruiting class, I think, you know, whether people text in and I get some negative texts, and I'm with you on that one. I think, okay, what they've done, I think he can still get this program where it needs to be.
Look, and that's a bad habit. I don't mean to say look all the time. I'm not addressing you.
I do it as well. Yeah. I do it as well. I've noticed that. It's okay.
It's a bit like a lot of people do it. It's a sports radio crutch. We'll get WDRB's Eric Crawford on the other side. Text line, understandably crushing me on some things. Wow, you guys are resorting to moral victories. Pitiful. I do think that's something that you could plant your flag in and say that that's not something that bodes well for the program. I guess just. And I'm not, it's very frustrating where even though, like I said, if it was a boxing match, I'm always using the boxing analogy. Last year, it seemed like, you know, different weight classes and some guy just smacking you around in your backyard. That was terrible. That was absolutely, you know, what's the word? Like program damaging. That was rough. This year, you still lost on the cards comfortably. But you didn't get knocked out, and you were at least in the same weight class. And again, is that a moral victory? Yeah, but this is where you take a step back, and I'm not saying that it's not important because games like that bring fans in seats. Fans in seats bring recruits here. There's a trickle-down effect, 100%. I understand that, but that UK game probably isn't punching your ticket to the expanded college football playoff. Right. You know what is? The wins in your conference against NC State, against Wake Forest, who was one of the top teams in the league this year, the most efficient team in the league this year. I'm more upset about the Clemson loss than UK. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say that. That is such a loser mindset. I understand that. But this is one of those wins where, unfortunately, they, you know, earlier in the tenure, it didn't seem like they were up for it. I still don't know how much they seemed up for it yesterday. I do think it was better. It wasn't good, but it was better. And if basically, I guess what I'm saying is, as a fan, I'm putting my fan hat on, and it's a bitter pill to swallow. If you could give me a season in the ACC with 1-2 conference losses and you just lose to UK, I'd take that in a heartbeat because that's what's going to get you to the college football playoff. And now you could say, well, okay, then they're going to get smoked by a team, in the college football playoff. But I do think the rivalry aspect of this, unfortunately, has rattled the program. So I'm saying that if you have an opponent that is maybe even is stronger than UK and you meet them in the postseason, mm-hmm. but you take away the squeezing the ball tight of the rivalry and everything that involves that. I mean, we saw the team show up against better teams than UK this year. I don't know. I mean, to me, I feel like that's something. I know it's a bitter pill to swallow because you're getting smoked in a rivalry. The rivalry's turning into the hammer and the nail, but bigger picture, I feel like you're making strides towards what's beyond something that the program's never been to, and that is a playoff. Now you have a chance at the playoff. They're making the table bigger. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's not a popular take, but that's just kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, with semantics, you're talking about moral victories. I don't think that's what we're saying. It's they competed. There were some crucial turnovers that cost them the game. But from a coaching staff standpoint, they're going to spin this to every kid that's in that portal. Hey, we need you to win that big ACC game at Clemson. We need you to beat Kentucky. There's a way to spin that and get the players you need. They can use this, unfortunately, as a positive. When they go out and get those guys, you can affect this program. You can be a trailblazer to bring us the Governor's Cup, to get us to the ACC championship game. Those are things they're doing right now. As they're sitting and going over, having their meetings, that's a way to spin this and get the players you need and sell them on, hey, this is a great place to play. It's a great city. And you can buck that trend of losing the Governor's Cup. You can help us get to the ACC championship. Those are things that are selling points for this program. So you've got to find ways. You're not apologizing. You're not talking about moral victories. You're finding ways to improve the program. That's what they need to do to get over the hump.
I absolutely agree. It's the coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today on Monday edition of the V Show, ESPN 680, 1057. We'll have WDRB's Eric Crawford join us on the other side. Your text, welcome. By all means, crush me because I'm definitely lobbing it up to a lot of people today. 437-9680 UPS Jobs. Text line if you want to be part of the show. Eric Crawford on the other side. It's the V Show. It's a reaction Monday, ESPN 680, 1057.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
V-Show rolling along here on a Monday, ESPN 680-1057. The coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today on a Monday. We have a Smush Eric Crawford of WDRB joining us. Smush, how are you, my friend? Hey, we're only like 10 minutes late. That's pretty good for us.
That's pretty good. You caught me off guard.
I know, yeah. Like I
wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like whenever we would take the Calipari presser, it was always scheduled for 1, but half the time we would just schedule stuff until about 1:30 and just banked on it running a little late. So, yeah, it's totally, totally fair. As I've Smush has been nice enough to agree to come on the program, and then Pops and I call him literally an hour later. So he's very, very patient. He's a saint. Well, we've been talking football this entire first hour, Eric, and Mark, Coach Lieberman. I'm not saying it with a high pitched inflection. I mean it when I say it. You have some good football opinions. The text line liking you. The text line hating me.
I'm no expert.
Neither am I. As I was kind of retreating towards moral victories. But with that, Mr. Crawford, was there anything that you could take away that would be positive for U of L in their loss to UK this weekend?
The only thing really, I thought they ran the ball better. I don't think it was quite as glaring a physical mismatch, although it was. Let me be very clear. It was a physical mismatch. Kentucky is still bigger and stronger and faster. I thought, you know, Louisville, I honestly thought Kentucky would run it a little better, and Kentucky ran it well. Chris Rodriguez had 120 yards. But I did think, you know, Louisville was able to kind of get a ground game going, but they had no passing game, and you can't, you know, what are you going to do? You can't go in and beat a good team. Kentucky was never made uncomfortable in that game. They played it very conservatively. They could have opened it up more offensively if they needed to, but they didn't need to. They won by 13, and I would like to see what would have happened had Louisville gotten a second half score, gotten a score to open the second half, or gotten another touchdown late and made it, you know, pulled it back within one score, but never happened, and Kentucky really didn't have to rev its engines too much.
Eric, Mark Lieberman, obviously an SEC team being that physical, and it's a difference between an ACC team and an SEC team. Things you think they could have done with the passing game, obviously they're limited with speed on the outside and with the quarterback play. Any thoughts that you might have that that could have maybe some trick plays or something like that going into a game like this?
I thought we might see a little bit more. I thought, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, as soon as I say, well, maybe they could do done a little bit more in the screen game,
right.
I look at just how much, to me, the most superior unit to anybody else on the field was Kentucky's defensive backs and secondary against Louisville's receivers. Kentucky's defensive backs are really good. And, you know, J.J. Weaver's been terrorizing Louisville and everybody else for a long time, and he's from Louisville. So, you know, those guys are good and they're big. And Louisville has not had a receiving core that's generated a lot of separation this year. They've got good receivers. They're not great. I don't know. I think based on what Kentucky was doing defensively, I don't know how much more they could do based on the talent they had. But I also thought they could have been a little more creative in the run game since they were having success and really kind of forced Kentucky to maybe open it up a little, commit a few fewer people in the back. But the bottom line is Kentucky, I thought, was good enough to stop Louisville with man-to-man coverage in the back. And if you can do that, it's hard to do much of anything.
We were talking transfer portal earlier. That's a way that the coaching staff, and I'm sure they're scouring it now, and they're having those meetings and talks and so on, a way to spin it and get guys here that say, hey, this is a chance to win the Governor's Cup. This is a chance to get to 9 wins and so on. Your thoughts on that? That's something moving forward. If Coach Satterfield is the coach, that's a way to bring players in that can impact winning. Obviously, that's something that they have to look at. Your thoughts on what they need to do moving forward, position wise, to improve the team and get them to where they need to be.
Well, I think they made themselves better defensively this year, I think, but now they lose some key guys, but they look more legitimate up front this year, and MJ Griffin comes in at safety in midway through the season, and he made a huge difference. Of course, Satterfield's got to re-recruit everybody that's any good at this point, but I think we're going to see, and this is where you see how well coaches are able to evaluate, because I look down the road at Western Kentucky, they know who their quarterbacks are they're going after, and they may not be named guys that you've heard of, but they knew they were going to get Bailey Zappe. And they went and got him, and he broke all the records at the school. They said this guy can play regardless of level. They didn't even feel like they were taking a chance. They went and got him and most of his receivers and his offensive coordinator, and they came back the next year, and they moved the ball all season on everybody. I think if you're Satterfield and you're looking at quarterbacks, I don't know if you're going to go out and get a big-name guy. And if you do get a big-name guy, he's probably more name than performance at this point, although – sometimes you can get a guy from a big place and he does big things. Look at Joe Burrow or look at all the, you know, Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. You can get those guys and they blossom in your system. So I just think the big thing for me is for Satterfield, he's got to go get a quarterback who can play now. You know, I know they've got a good freshman coming in, but they got to go get a guy who can play immediately and sell him on the program, the vision for the program, and bring some receiver talent around him, and I think those skill positions are huge for them. And then just to continue to build with the recruiting that he's got just a ton of talent in the freshman class, but I think they need a transfer quarterback and some wideouts who can make immediate impact and maybe a tight end.
WDRB's Eric Crawford joining us on the V Show at Eric Crawford on Twitter if you want to chat with him. The coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Falvano for Bobby V. You mentioned getting a quarterback in the transfer portal. It seems to be a great target, dual threat guy. Yes, he has a bit of an injury history, but you're going from a dual threat quarterback with Malik. You could get a dual threat quarterback from Georgia Tech's Breece Hall, who they got from, basically flipped him from FSU. He enters the transfer portal, I believe, today. Is this one of these things where, I don't want to say it has the same impact as maybe like a DJ Wagner and Kenny Payne, but because there was a very, very much a rivalry aspect fueling that. But is this a case of Satterfield needs to get his man in Breece Hall?
I don't know. I don't think that's a make or break kid. I mean, there's plenty of those. He's good. Let's not forget, until he isn't, Satterfield has a great freshman quarterback committed. So I don't know that there's anybody that's like a game changer type of guy. And you say dual threat quarterback. Well, that's good, and that's kind of where the game is going a little bit. But I don't think you got to be careful. I don't think you can go out and chase the next Lamar Jackson with every quarterback they get for the next 20 years. You know, Lamar's been great. Malik Cunningham's been great. But I think they just need to get the best guy they can get. Arguably, to me, the offense operated at its best when they had the traditional drop-back passer out there, because you had receivers who knew the ball was coming and had a more predictable, you know, throwing situation, who knew their routes were important because the ball had a chance of coming to them on any passing play. Not that they didn't with Malik, but I think, you know, it's different with a quarterback who's less of a threat to run. I don't think it has to be a dual threat guy. I just think whoever they get, they've got to be sold on that this is the guy and we can make it work with him and we're going to build our offense around what he does best and let's go. And so it could be the kid from Georgia Tech, and that would be, you know, that'd be a great get for them, but I don't think it has to be.
Eric Crawford, WDRB News. Follow him at Eric Crawford on Twitter. Smush, you mentioned the recruiting class. This is a meaty question, but it's kind of one of the ones du jour. I put up a Twitter poll of what do you feel more comfortable with for U of L football next season, 6 wins or 9 wins? And it's closer than I thought it was going to be, given all the vitriol. It's about 56% saying that they think it'll be a regression to 6 wins, as opposed to 44 saying that it'll be an ascension to 9. Has Seth done enough to get an extension? That's the bottom line. We'll just go right to it.
If you're not going to give him an extension, you need to let him go. Because what's he got left? 2 years? You can't coach in college football with what he's got right now. They're going to have to extend him. The question is, do you extend him 4 years or longer? You know, do you just make sure he's got the 4 years on his contract, or do you extend it out further? I don't think you can just let it go like that. He was, you know, I don't know, maybe that's what they're going to try and do. But I think it makes it real hard to recruit if they don't extend him at all. And because the recruiting against you as a coach is really rough, and ask Kenny Payne. I mean, it's tough, and you need every bit of ammunition you can to ward it off. And I don't see how you go without giving him some kind of extension after this season, just based on where he is. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not endorsing it 4 more years or whatever. I'm just saying that just from a practical standpoint. You know, maybe it's not a huge extension, maybe it's not a huge raise, but I think you got to do something because it's too easy to recruit against a guy. Otherwise, you're setting him up to not be the most successful he can be.
WDRB is Eric Crawford, Smush as we call him all around these parts, joining the V
Great
Show
nickname.
Today. Oh man, it's one of the ones we're very proud of. And you, you fulfilled the Smush nickname in every good way, Eric. I just want you to know.
I don't even know. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day and somebody yelled out "Smush." That was the first time that ever happened.
How long has that nickname been around, Eric?
It's not. Bob came up with it off the top of his head. I don't know where it came from. He was just giving everybody nicknames that day or that week, and that was mine.
Yeah, I don't remember that when I was here. So
it's like John Belushi going down the list with a fraternity and telling what their Delta Tau name was going to be. He's just making it up as he went.
Great reference.
And so there you go.
By the way, I said Breece Hall. It's Jeff Sims. Thanks for the correction there. Text line 437-9680. Yeah, I got my transfers mixed up, so I appreciate the help there. Other texters saying that, and I feel like this is something that we could maybe parlay into talking about the blue side, but a texter asking, do you think there's any chance that someone hires Satterfield away? How much merit do you put on that? And what do you think of you certainly have to think that maybe it was the reason that UK extended Mark Stoops. So any merit to that text, Smush, and your thoughts on the Stoops extension?
There was a lot of merit to it if Louisville had come away with a win at Kentucky. At that point, I think, wait a minute, if he wins 8 games at Louisville and could have won 10 if they had a cup, you know, had been playing better early, that's your out. If you want to go, now's the time. And if they haven't extended him, you know, there you go. There's your chance. I don't know that I'm as worried about it after the Kentucky game, because while Louisville, I think Satterfield's a good coach. I mean, the players, the way they responded to him and these coaches, the way they ran through the finish line, and I know that Kentucky everybody's frustrated about, but and people don't want to hear it. Kentucky's just better. right now. And Louisville used to be better. Used to stand on the field in the pregame and look at the players, and Louisville's guys were all bigger, and they were faster, and you knew who was going to win the game. And now you stand on the sidelines and watch the teams next to each other, and it's the other way around. And until that changes, it's going to stay that way. Football is a pretty easy sport. It's kind of like the military. The most guns and the most numbers usually is the team that wins. It's not like basketball. So they're just better. And I think that, you know, I think Satterfield's done a good job. He's proven that he can motivate players. Players are developing a little bit. I think he's good. I just don't think he's hit his stride here completely, and I don't think he's had a real good recruiting base yet. But I think I can see where somebody would look at him and think that, but I don't hear much about that right now, so I don't think it's a huge concern. I'd say it's a small concern.
Eric Crawford of WDRB. Maybe wrap up a little bit on the hardwood, and Coach, feel free to weigh in here. But your thoughts on the SEC Big Ten Challenge going away and now it being an ACC-SEC affair?
I don't know. I mean, there seems to be that little burgeoning rivalry between the Big Ten and the SEC as far as media and all we've seen going on the last year. But I don't know. I mean, I think I didn't know what to make. I just think it's one of those cyclical things. I mean, I don't think the SEC is all that concerned about what's going on with basketball. And the Big Ten obviously has other things it wants to do. So I think it's all fine. Maybe there's something more to read between the surface. And I do think the Big Ten and the SEC are becoming more and more rivals of each other, and more and more eyeing each other's business moves and conference moves with more and more as if they are each other's enemy. But I don't know if that played into this or not.
I just think there's so much great basketball now early in the season, too, as well. You just four overtimes, North Carolina and Alabama. Yeah. I think that's all changing. There's so many teams, and Gonzaga had the knock that they're not playing anybody, and now everybody's playing
everybody,
they're playing. Look at what Gonzaga played in this last tournament, and they're going to be better for it. And it's great to see so much great early basketball. And obviously, being involved in the game, everybody was nervous. Hey, we don't want to have that bad loss early in the year, but now it's like mid majors knocking off the high majors. That's obviously the norm, and some of these high major games as well. Looking towards the Louisville program, obviously that's going to be down the line. And I think, not to be doom and gloom, but the product that Kenny Payne envisions, that's probably not going to be till next season. And I think the grad transfer portal and all those type of things are things that the Louisville program's looking at, and obviously that's going to help them down the line.
Yeah, and I think people forget, and I probably haven't made this point enough publicly, but if you look back to last season, I mean, this team lost what? 12 of its last 14 games already, and that was a far more talented team than this one. I mean,
right.
The team had already played half a season together. And I know there was a lot of dysfunction and all that with coaching and all that, but they struggled way before Kenny Payne got here and then lost some of their better players. So that this is not a surprise now. Everybody says they should still be good enough to beat a Bellarmine or whoever you want to throw out there, and I'll grant people that, but there are some issues, and those issues, as deep and profound as they are not going to go away, you know, with the flip of one coach coming in and flipping a switch, especially when he doesn't even have a full year to recruit yet. So I know how angry people are, and I know it looks worse than it should right now, maybe, but that it just is how it is, and they're going to have to work and try and you know, be as good as they can be this season. But it's not happening, you know, and it wasn't happening
right
before him, and it's not happening now. And hopefully he just needs to persevere, and it's a learning process for him along with everybody else. We all knew that coming in, and so when it is, I don't see much point in going crazy over it, because we knew pretty much this is what we were going to be looking at, even if it looks worse sometimes than we thought.
Eric Crawford never looks good, or never looks as bad as we thought he is.
You had it right the first time, man. There you go.
He rolls out of bed at 8, lives up to the Smush nickname. He's at WDRB. Follow him on Twitter, at Eric Crawford. Eric, we very much appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, Nick. Good to talk to you, Coach.
Great talking with you, Smush.
Big fan of Eric Crawford. Big, big fan. By the way, Freudian slip. Yeah, Breece Hall, obviously, with the Jets, and my fellow Jets fan, Biscuit, had a tweet about Breece Hall, but I went to read this, so I read the wrong tweet. Sorry. As I was saying that, I was like, wait a minute. What the hell? Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Nick, we're going to have the PTI section at the end for our mistakes, so it's fine. Don't worry about it.
If Tony Reale's stat boy was doing it whenever I'm in, he literally would have carpal tunnel. Like, he would have to, like, stretch because it would just
I have
be...
a sophomore at Collegiate listening in, and he'll text us all the mistakes, and we can read
them.
Oh,
sweet. So we'll give him a shout-out. What's his name? Just, you know, first name.
We'll keep that under wraps. He doesn't want to be recognized yet.
But. Okay. That's fair enough. So we'll just call him our collegiate stat boy.
That's exactly.
There we go.
There we go. He wanted a title. So
he's stat boy. There he is. All right. Fantastic. You can put it on your college transcript, stat boy. But this is what Biscuit talked about. That Georgia Tech quarterback, Jeff Sims. These were his takeaways. We'll put a bow on this segment with this as we'll take a top of the hour break and get to the Kenny Payne presser around 1:15. He says this about Jeff Sims. He was a highly regarded recruit coming out of high school. Georgia Tech flipped him from FSU. He's an explosive player, dual threat, not unlike Malik Cunningham. Really hasn't been an accurate passer over his career. Louisville fans will remember him because he had one of his best games against U of L as a freshman in 2020. He's had injury issues two seasons in a row and has never quite unlocked his full potential. He's intriguing to me, but I'm not sure what he does better than Malik. The hope is you get him with a better coaching staff and better surrounding talent and hope he blossoms. But there is something to be said for 3 years of ACC starting experience. I don't know. I don't know. It's one of those things like Rick Pitino's quote, you know, I don't think Jalen Hurts is knocking down that door to come here. So, I mean, you have to think who you could get. And I do think that as sort of a stopgap, which is also something that people have been critical of. Again, if this is something people have been critical of, their lack of developing a quarterback, their lack of getting a quarterback here. I don't think Brock gets the credit he deserves this year, quite honestly. But okay, I'll grant you the fact that you had a quarterback that has played well this year in the roles that he was given, but wasn't a quarterback that could win you that UK game. Harsh but fair. Okay, maybe this Jeff Sims guy is because he does bring a little bit more experience. Mm-hmm. He could be that stopgap between him and Pierce Clarkson, because I'm not sure you want as good as Pierce seems to be on paper, I'm not sure you want a true freshman under center next year. And he could be that guy that buys you that time. And that idea of maybe having better pieces around him, you know, might help him flourish a little bit. But then you have to get those pieces. So it's not a complete cure-all, but I do think that's an intriguing person that could be that guy that Sat needs to get in the transfer portal.
From a coaching perspective, it's not like all of a sudden season's over and it's like, okay, well, let's start identifying players that can fit that need. They're looking through that the entire season. There's connections with high school coaches. There's connections with people around players. They're always going to get a text, a call about something. This kid might not be happy. And unfortunately, you don't want to hear that because from a standpoint of, hey, guys are bought in and loyalty and so on. But you know. And so they're not just all of a sudden saying, okay, let's get a list together of quarterbacks, running backs, defensive line, what have you, that will fit the need. They've identified players already. They have a board from possible transfers that can come in and be a great fit. So this is not like all of a sudden they're surprised by this guy announcing that he's answering the transfer portal and so on. Of course, there are surprises, but they have a list, and they're identifying. That's part of their job.
Right. And I do think that for people that – and I understand if they want to get snarky about what's so great about Louisville. Well, I mean, look at the NIL. I mean, when it comes down to it, if it's a two-horse race and you can make more money – whether it be a year or two, and I'm not sure how much eligibility he would have. And again, that's Jeff Sims, not Jets running back Breece Hall. That is Jeff Sims, the Georgia Tech quarterback.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly how much time he'd have here. I can look that up real fast. But you have to think, if you only have a year, maybe two, I mean, get that back, son. There's selling points here, absolutely.
NIL and Lamar Jackson is going to be, you know, throwing his name out there. There's always ways to induce players to come because of your program. And this is a great place to play great schedule, city, and so on and so forth. There's a tremendous amount of selling points to get the right players to come to Louisville.
If it is an NIL thing, I do think in a way it's there's another little feather in your cap, because Georgia Tech's in the heart of Atlanta, and Atlanta is one of basically the capital of the South. in terms of just commerce and everything. I do, and I, this is something I will always try to flex on, because I thought that it was a good take, and we'll see if it remains that way. But I always thought that with NIL, the city schools were going to have a bit of an equalizer with some of the big state schools in the SEC and Big Ten. And it's seeming, at least with Louisville, that way. They seem to be landing all these guys through NIL deals, or at least that certainly seems to be an aspect. It's, you know, if we're doing the scientific method, that was the X factor. That was the thing that was different than the past. So I do think if you get a guy like that, and when you get him from another metropolitan area, I do think that kind of bodes well for your NIL. And quite honestly, I don't understand completely how some of these schools in the cities, these city schools, don't have great NIL. Maybe they do, but I do think that it's a feather in the cap for a smaller city like Louisville to take guys from Pittsburgh's and and, you know, bigger metro areas.
Right. The goalposts are constantly moving on the NILs.
Right.
It's so hard to decipher all the nuances and so on, but that's, look how many schools are creating their own NIL departments to just handle that.
Right.
And that's the future. And that's what you're going to see a lot more of. And sure, this city has a lot to offer from that standpoint. And if I may, let me hark back to the fact that the Louisville Collegiate student is not in the witness protection program.
I was going to say,
so, I don't know. His name is Colin, and he texted me, so we're okay. You had a great name for him.
Stat Boy. Stat Boy Colin.
Stat Boy Colin, so we'll just go with
SBC.
That.
SBC. He's our SBC. There we go. Stat Boy Colin. There we go. And he's not in witness protection. That's good to know. All right, so Stat Boy Colin, thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone else listening. We'll take a short break. We'll get to the Kenny Payne presser, courtesy of our friends at U of L Health, making the impossible possible. That's the power of you. That'll be more of Coach Lieberman, yours truly, Nick Valvano, maybe Jack Grossman. Mark Story joins it too. Kenny Payne on the other side. Thanks for listening. V Show Monday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.